Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our podcast series, On Purpose, Conversations to Ignite the Heart, the Mind and the Soul. And my name is Monica Ross and I live by the sea in Kinsale in County Cork. And I describe myself as an embodied leadership coach and coaching supervisor. My intention in launching this series of podcasts is first of all, to inspire myself, to bring more inspiration into the world by bringing inspiration to others, including all those who connect with this podcast, and cascading inspiration into the world so that we're all lit up. We all become the lights that we are. And this morning, I want to very warmly welcome Aileen O'Dwyer, who is an educator who spent 36 years teaching in a small rural school. 23 of those was as the principal, guiding, teaching and leading. And in recent years, she has retired from teaching, but that's still part of her. And she retrained as a coach. So now she's bringing her gifts from both worlds together, working with school leaders and school management teams. And Aileen, I know you shared with me that your purpose is supporting those who work with children to create the optimum learning environment. Anything you'd like to say just briefly about, you know, you being here today? What does it mean for you?
First of all, Monica, thank you very much for inviting me. I'm absolutely delighted to be here today. We have worked together before. And as always, you have inspired me and have helped me to be inspired. So it's a privilege to be here with you. So thank you.
And I'd like to welcome all of you who've joined us from various places and those who will connect with us at a later stage, you know, by listening in afterwards. I'm still holding the energy that it'll almost be like you're with us right now, even if you listen in afterwards. And my invitation is that, you know, let go of all pens and papers, even though this may be a learning experience, you'll be learning at a different level. My intention is that, you know, it will come into your system through osmosis. So I'd love you to be just fully present and there'll always be a recording available later. So I'm just going to invite us all, including myself and Aileen now, to enter in together, to bring our energies together by doing a centering exercise. And it's working with the body and energy to come present. So I'm going to invite us all just to move back a little bit if you're very near a table and take a moment to really connect your feet to the ground. Sometimes we forget we're in a body. And if you like, you can close your eyes if that helps you. Or if you like to just keep a soft gaze on a spot on the wall or the floor. And from that place, just noticing the contact of your feet on the floor. Notice any sensation or aliveness, any temperature. And then pressing into your sit bones at the bottom of your torso, making good contact with the seat, immediately your spine becomes a little bit more upright. And it's almost like you become taller in the world. And also your energy can flow more freely. And I'm going to invite us to work with our breath in a way that when we breathe in, we're exhaling up like a spiral. And when we exhale out, we leave a long, slow exhale spiraling down into the earth. So let's just breathe upwards. Imagine that there's a gentle spiral or a gentle breeze going up your spine. And then the long, slow exhale I'll do out loud. And you could do that too, if you like. Spiraling right down into the earth, letting go of anything you don't need. And let's do that once more. So breathing upwards, spiral upwards. Bringing in resources and spaciousness. And then a long, slow exhale down, right down into the earth. And then let's come into our heart for a moment. And bring to mind somebody or something that makes you smile. Maybe somebody you appreciate. or somebody who inspires you. And notice what happens in your heart. Maybe it becomes warm. Maybe it feels as if it opens a little bit more. We're bringing in the hormone oxytocin, which is the rapport, the connection chemical. And from that place, just connect into the space around you, because when we're stressed, everything closes in. So just get a sense through your body of feeling more space around you. And we can give the mind a little question to keep it busy, like, what if my energy was equal and even to the left and right of me? And let the body find that. And what if my energy was equal and even to the front and back of me? And again, the body will look for that. And what if my energy were equal and even above my head and below my feet? And as the body looks for that, you might get the very subtle sense that it's almost like you're in a cocoon of your own energy, a place to come to anytime you want, just through your breath and your attention. And then let's extend our energy field to include each other. So we can do that with energy. So I'm sending my energy all the way from a little tiny spot in Sandy Cove in Ireland to include Aileen, who's near Limerick. And then out beyond that, around the world, to anybody who's connected in today. And maybe you can all connect your energy to people who are in your thoughts. And the message is, we're in this together. It's a benevolent message. We're all human beings doing the best we can. And then just give a little scan of your body and notice if there are any places where there's a bit of tightness or constriction, or maybe that your breath has got a little bit shallow. And if you notice that, just give a long, slow exhale again. And relax your jaw and your shoulders. And lastly, invite in a quality. So it's an energetic quality, almost like, you know, when you put on your favorite bit of clothes or jewelry, it's like something extra is available. And the quality could be something like peace or ease or openness or kindness. And as I say those words, just notice what happens within you. And maybe there's a quality you already know that you'd like to have a little bit more of. And all you need is 2% or maybe 5%, and that will be enough. Just by bringing it to mind, it will start to work with you. So welcome again. Today, my intention, as I said, is to bring more inspiration to myself, to Aileen, and to all of you listening in. So I'm really inviting you to take a moment to connect with what inspires you. Maybe it's nature. Maybe it's a person that you really admire. Just take a moment to sense into that sense of inspiration. What lifts you up? And also connect with your intention for joining us. You know, how did you hear about this? What's brought you in this direction? What part of you knew that you needed to be here? And just allow that to be present with you as Aileen and myself begin to share and explore together. And I invite each one of you now to slowly open your eyes if they were closed, coming back into the space, but staying connected to yourself. So Aileen, I'd love to know, what is it that lights you up or what inspires you? Because you always look as if you're lit up.
Thank you. I have thought about that. What always comes to mind first is children light me up, working with children. And then I stopped and I said, but you no longer work with children, and the light has not gone out. So when I thought deeper about it, what came to me was learning. I just love learning, and it's learning something new and then integrating it into my own life and sharing it with whoever. And I suppose that was what lit me up when I was working with children, because children are so open to learning and they want to know and they want to be better. You know, the little boy who'll say he's 4 and 2 days, and he'd say, I'm nearly 5. you know, this wanting to be better. And now I suppose speaking, I love sharing what I've learned. And when I'm talking to groups, or even when I was in school speaking at parents or with the INTO speaking at functions, I just got this energy from speaking. I love telling stories. And I suppose behind it all would be, you know, each morning I'd wake up with, what will I do today? And the first thing would be a walk. So the walk would light me up. You know, I walk to the, I live here in a lovely scenic area near the Ballyhara Mountains, and we have a monastic site at the top of a hill. So I'd love to go up there and look at the greenery. And on a day like this, today, there is a beautiful blue sky. And between the blue and the green, just the balance and the fresh air and listening to the birds. So it's a mixture, Monica, of, you know, where I am and what I'm learning and sharing with others.
And actually, there are values that I share as well. I mean, I live by the sea, as you know, so I kind of take 5 minutes to sit outside and just be there. You know, it just 5 minutes of being with the sea brings something into my system. But even, you know, when I'm not near the sea, if I'm in London working, for me, just to go outside or to listen to birds, you know, it's something very simple. It's connection with nature, connection with life, or even seeing a tree, you know, or a flower. I love flowers and I love looking into flowers because they're all so individual. You know, each one of them, they're so perfectly made and they're so individual and so perfect. It's fascinating. I'm wondering, you know, for you, Aileen, I know that your childhood, you know, how you got into teaching and how you got into the field of learning seemed very connected to who you are now and how you still carry the same inspiration with you. Do you want to share a little bit around, you know, how did Aileen become this lover of learning?
I was very blessed in the sense that my grandparents lived with us. My grandmother, which I call Nana, and my granddad Coco, because he drank Coco every night. And I only knew him as Coco, but he had a love of learning, absolutely love of learning. And I would have learned about nature from him and the trees and being outside. And I had my little cabbie, you know, that he made for me. But I suppose the person who really instilled that love of learning and appreciation for every person would have been my Nana. She would be the one that would have played school with me. And I'd line up the dolls and the teddies. But Nana would always be a pupil. I had to be the teacher. Now, my dolls and my teddies were very good. They always did what they were told. But Nana never did what she was told. She was either talking or she was looking around her or she couldn't find her book. And, you know, I loved Nana to bits. And Nana always bought me presents when she went to Cork. She came home with a lovely dress for me and I got beautiful Christmas presents from her. So I could never, ever get cross at Nana. No matter what she did, I had to find a nice way of doing it. She did not like me when I was cross. And it was only years later that I realized the gift she had given to me. Like last week was Neurodiversity Week. And, you know, we don't know and we don't appreciate how people think. And she gave me such patience. And I look back and I'm just so grateful to her for that.
Well,
yeah, yeah. Because I suppose working with children, they're so open. You know, they're like, when you talk about learning, they're like an open book. You know, it's only as we become more adults with, I suppose, with our culture, with religion, with education, we can close some of the chapters. We can even close the book. And some people feel that I'm no good, I can't learn. And it's so important that we have patience and understanding, you know, that Nana taught me. And it's, you know, within every person, there's a, you know, there's a child. So it's about, and it's about, I suppose, the difference between being childlike and childish. And I'm working with groups at the moment. And I think that's, you know, as you talk about energy, our energy really can dictate, you know, it's so important that we're responsible for our energy as much as for our behavior. Mm-hmm. And the childlike, you know, the childlike traits of joy and fun and openness, you know, there's such gifts that children can give to us.
I'm smiling because, as you can see behind me, there's a Kermit the Frog and a Buddha.
Yes.
And clients, you know, when they see what's behind me, they often get curious, and some of them will ask. Some of them will be very proper and they won't say anything. And some will be curious. And it's Kermit has become a big talking point with clients. And with some of them, they've actually gone out and bought their own Kermit. And it's, I suppose, it's bringing fun and lightness and a sense of something else. You know, I take photographs when I'm going traveling for work. I take Kermit with me. Okay. And I take photographs of him in different places. And I create a little storyline around what Kermit is learning from the trip. So we call those clients of mine kind of look for my Kermit moments, which is, you know, what is Kermit up to now and where has he been and what is he learning? And it makes people smile, you know. And yeah, there's something around how do we bring lightness into the world? There's enough of other energies there. How do we raise our own vibration? And I'm curious, you know, for you, how do you stay connected to, you've mentioned about, you know, your walk every morning. What Yes. else keeps you connected to inspiration?
Yes. When you mentioned the word inspiration, I always put the word, take out the words out of that, in spirit.
Mm.
And in spirit for me, I think of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. When I was teaching, I used to teach fifth and sixth of the religion part of the program. That was the part that I really enjoyed. And often maybe well, the only part I enjoyed was the talking about the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And for me, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the three that I would associate with are love, and peace and joy. It's the idea that how can I bring joy to my own life? How can I bring peace to my own life? And how can I bring love to my own life? Because if I have it, then I can share it and give it. So I start with myself and my self-care, which would be, as we mentioned already, the nature. I love walking, I love gardening, and I love being by the sea. I love going to the sea. And the doing part of it would be baking.
Mm.
I always, when I bake, if there's any anxiety in me, just even the smell of the baking and in the kitchen, I just love it. And I suppose it brings that back, that warm, familiar feeling of my mother baking. So it's the smell, and of course it's the tasting as well afterwards. Problem is I eat too much of it.
Well, I was just thinking I'd be more on the tasting department. I make soups and I love cutting the vegetables. It's kind of like a meditation sometimes to be eating and cutting and just kind of, you know, putting in. And I never have a recipe, so it depends on, you know, I just create something each time and then I'm amazed at how it comes out.
And the brilliant thing about chopping, Monica, is it helps you stay totally present.
Yeah.
And the moment you step out of it, you can easily chop the finger and nip the finger. So it brings you back. You have to stay really present with the chopping. It's a great therapy in its own way.
And actually, I was working with a lady in France this morning, a supervisee, and she was saying that gardening is something that she finds really good for herself, for her own kind of getting out of her head into her body. Mm. It really helps her to kind of stay connected and to let go of, you know, if she's working with a client and, you know, if she feels tired or anything, she finds that it really helps her to come back to herself. Mm. And then she said she plants loads of flowers and things so she can admire them afterwards.
Yes. And I just love the feel of the clay. Mm. At this time of the year, I take a fork and I go out and I dig, and I love the digging, but I love the clay and putting my hands in and taking out the weeds. I there's something about the clay, the grounding and the earth. You know, I love that connection. And then I suppose stretching out for myself, going out for myself, I get huge inspiration from others.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I'm here working on Zoom and we have a local coffee shop, and I take a break in the middle of the day and I go back to the coffee shop. And I have met this most gorgeous couple. Cliff is 94 and Anna's in her 80s.
Yeah.
Talk about an inspiration. He is such an inspiration. So I get inspiration from others and my neighbors. I visit my neighbors. And then in my work, in coaching, I learn so much about them, about myself in the coaching. That just inspires me so much. And yet being with others, then it's lovely to come back to the stillness, the quietness, whether it's nature or whether it's sitting in meditation for 5 minutes, I can't do much more. That for me is bringing peace and love and joy. And it's always asking the question, how can I do that? And I suppose living in the moment and saying, what now? More than planning ahead.
And I'm wondering, you know, I might invite all those who are with us at the moment on the podcast just to take a moment to kind of connect with yourself again and sense into what is it that inspired you as a child and what is it that still inspires you. So just take a moment or two, connect back into yourself. And sometimes it's the very simple things. It could be animals. It could be people in your life, just like Aileen, your granny. And if you could imagine, as you connect with those things, just gathering them up and putting them into your heart for a moment so that they can stay with you and you can remind yourself in the future. We don't always have to write things down to remember them. And actually, I'm remembering now. When I was a little girl, I used to love writing stories. And there was an extra neighbour of ours, Mrs. Kennell, who I'm sure is up above now looking down. But it's funny, I signed up yesterday for a writing course, so it's funny she came into my mind today. But I used to write my little stories, like one was called Mary and the Little Fairy, which sounds so simple and, you know, naive now when I think about it. But she'd sit there and listen to me and give me time and, you know, really seriously kind of take in what I had written and maybe give me the odd bit of feedback on it. And I felt so special, you know, I felt, wow, you know, I'm a writer. And yeah, so, you know, people in our lives who've given us time, actually, and their presence. And I remember being in her house and she had a piano and I couldn't play the piano, but I used to sit there tinkling at the ivories. And then I'd watch her making the dinner. You know, sometimes I used to go up to her house for the afternoon. So, you know, that's still a very strong memory with me, even though, you know, I'm many years later from the little girl that I was then. It's still very present to me. Though, you know, so it can be very simple things.
And
go ahead, yeah.
Sorry, as you say that, Monica, I think back of memories. You know, you're talking about memories. And, you know, sometimes we look back and we have memories that we like to forget. And yet, I'll just give you an example. You know, I had this situation whereby I read this, look back at the past and see the gift in it. And sometimes, you know, when you read and learn something new and you want to integrate it into your life, you know, that would be, my mother would always have this thing, practice what you preach. When I'd read something now, I'd say, I wonder how will that show up for me? Or where will that show up? The universe or the divine, whatever you want to call it, has a great way of giving you evidence or giving you a little challenge to test what has come up. This came up for me. Look back at the past and see the gift in it. And one day I was sitting in the sunroom with my husband, Pat, and there happened to be thunder and lightning. And he was saying, oh, the thunder is getting closer. And he was counting the seconds and the lightning and he was watching it all. And then he started to tell me stories about things that happened during times of lightning. But I noticed, instead of getting scared, I was actually sitting into myself and I could feel this really peaceful feeling coming over me. I was listening to him. I might not always be listening to him, but I was listening to him. But his words had a completely different effect on me. So I was curious as to what's happening. And it brought me back to a memory when I was only 7.
Oh.
I was in a classroom with a teacher who was quite cross. She obviously was, we've all come across really kind teachers, and we've also come across very cross teachers who may have been frustrated with their work or for whatever reason, whatever time in their life. And she was very cross. And the only time that there was quietness in the room was when there was thunder and lightning, she would sit at the table and light a candle, and she'd sit in silence. And I obviously got that sense from her, we're safe. The candle is lighting. We're all sitting quietly. And more than 50 years later, that feeling stayed with me. And it's funny because I remember the first day I started teaching. My mother loved farming, absolutely loved farming, loved cows. So she was out milking the cows, and she came in to me and she said to me, she said, I know nothing about teaching. She said, you were trained in Carysfort College. They showed you how to teach. But I will tell you one thing. You may not be remembered for the knowledge that you pass on, but you will be remembered for how you made the children feel. So she said to me, promise me that you will be kind, because when they've long forgotten what you've said, they will remember how you made them feel. And I thought that was a lovely message to get.
Yeah, I feel very touched by that. Yeah, it reminds me of the quotation by Maya Angelou, which is very similar. And actually, that's brought a memory back into my mind of a teacher that I had, Mrs. Kramer, who, again, I have no idea where she is now. But I used to find it hard to spell. And I worked very hard on spelling the word together. And I remember one day I was asked to spell, and of course I was nervous, but I actually spelled it correctly. And she shook my hand. To this day, I still remember. In fact, I have a little notebook, you know, as part of the embodied leadership, we do something called building your posse. So you think of all the people in your life who've kind of inspired you, or all the things that inspire you, and you write them all into the notebook. So Mrs. Kramer is in my notebook, Mrs. Scannell is in my notebook, and I talk about them all over the world. You know, when I'm in trainings in London and other places, they're still with me. So their names get mentioned, whether they know it or not. But for me, they were very pivotal, actually, as to have my hand shook meant something. It meant, you know, I had, my effort was rewarded. My kind of, there was a trust in me. There was an honouring of me.
And just as you say that, Monica, there's something that comes to mind for me very clearly. It's nearly like a flashcard. When I was teaching first, we used to use flashcards.
Yeah.
And there's a word on that flashcard. And do you know what that word is? Together.
Wow.
She shook your hand because you put the word together.
Oh my
and
God.
I know you, and I've worked with you, and you have brought people together.
I'm going to...
And you're still doing it. So well, she had a very good reason to shake your hand.
Well, thank you. That means a lot. I never put those two together.
Yes.
Wow. Mm. Just amazing.
Because we're on our own. It's like a little plant. On our own, we are just so weak and so vulnerable. But when we come together, we are so strong. You know, Ninart, Gokur, Lekela, there's strength in unity.
And it's funny, sorry.
Go ahead.
What just came in for me now was the embodied leadership work that I'm doing. One of the key phrases, it comes from Aikido, you know, it's the idea that we are in this together.
Yes.
And for me, you know, that's not just a phrase like being bandied around during the pandemic. It really is that we're all connected and that we are at some level all one. So, you know, what happens in me some is happening in another, or I can at least have a bit of compassion for what's going on in another person. Or I can ask myself, I mean, this might sound mad now, but even with Putin at the moment, I kind of stopped and found myself feeling very annoyed and powerless. And one day I stopped and I said, where am I waging war with myself? You know, where am I dropping bombs without even knowing that I'm doing it in relationships or in behaviours that I'm doing? I think we can always stop and, you know, notice what's going on outside and how that's affecting us or how we're judging it, and come back and say, where's that in me? It's a bit like, I know you've done Ho'oponopono as well, and that idea of coming back in and finding it within yourself.
That's true, because that, you know, the words of the Ho'oponopono, but there are three little phrases that I think that I had with the children's school, which please, thank you, and I'm sorry. You know, the please that we can, there are so many around us that we can ask for support. And then when they give it to us, to be grateful for it and to say thank you. But, you know, we don't, we are human. We don't always, even with the best of intention, we offend or we make mistakes. And I say to the children's school, mistakes make your brain grow.
I love that.
I mean, I just get it back. I'm making my brain grow. But I worked. Yeah, you have great fun with children. But I worked with this lady, quite a very special lady. And I meet people today in, God rest her soul, she's left this world, but I meet people today, and when they speak of her, I can feel the love radiating out from their heart. I can feel the softness of these people. It's amazing, the legacy of love that she left behind. And one thing I can always remember her for was, when children got into trouble with her, oh gosh, there was a fight in the yard, or you know the way things happen, whatever, she always made them feel sorry. But it was a sorry that had no guilt, no blame, no shame. It was that I'm sorry, and she said to them, what does I'm sorry mean? That I won't do it again. But the I won't do it again is, I've learned from this. And what have you learned? And they always left her with this feeling of, you know, she's so kind to me, and I'm going to do my best. Wow. She inspired that in them with her kindness. And it was just a lovely way. And when I hear I'm sorry, I think of her, and it's the me in the now changing and becoming a new me.
Beautiful, Aileen. That's really,
yeah,
amazing. And you know, it's so important that people don't feel ashamed for making a mistake, or you know, that there's a sense of compassion. And I mean, I know in Indigenous society, when you know somebody did something wrong, all of the people would gather around and tell the person all the good things that they had done.
Yeah.
You know, it was like reminding them of who they really are, rather than berating them for something that they, you know, had made a mistake. And so it's like calling them back to themselves. And I think that's a beautiful way to, you know, instead of, you know, maybe that's what we're doing at the moment in the way we're even handling Putin and the war, that we're actually excluding him, and that's making things worse. Whereas I'm not sure how he'd respond to people telling him, you know, how good he is. But there's something around how do we handle conflict? How do we handle when something goes wrong? And how can we come from a more compassionate place? And I know, you know, there are some atrocities that are unforgivable at the moment. But, you know, on a more personal scale, how can we bring it down to like the teacher and the child, and even with ourselves? How can we be more compassionate with ourselves and recognize that we were doing our best? And actually, it's funny, I was kind of, a phrase was forming in me to kind of say to you, what's your mantra, you know, for yourself to kind of bring you back to inspiration?
Yes, I suppose it changes with each time, you know, I keep changing. I actually have little books of mantras. I collect notebooks, and whatever comes up, I make a mantra of it. But one that has come up before and has come back to me in a different way: my life delights me, my life excites me, my life inspires me. I love my life. And linked to that, then, I am happy, I am healthy, I am at peace. It's the I am. And the, I remember at one stage reading about the rewiring of the brain and transactional analysis and dealing, you know, creating the situation, and then say, how can I bring joy into my life? How can I, setting the intention, you know, the idea that intention, that energy goes where energy flows, where attention goes. So if I set my attention, I bring energy to it. It's the idea, I see, you know, Einstein's thing is that this ball of energy, and it's either positive or negative. No, it's neutral. Sorry. The ball of energy is neutral. And I, by my thoughts, can make it positive or I can make it negative. So if I make it positive, I'm raising the vibration. And I'm, you know, with what's happening at the moment in the world, I just feel for children. I met a young girl that I supped with before I left, that came into school sobbing. And she said to me she has 30 children in her care at the moment, junior infants, which would be 4 and 5 year olds. And she said they're so anxious. Now, kids adapt to what's around them. Even if you see at the moment when the children are crossing the border with their cats and their dogs and their toys, there's a glint of happiness when they've got their cat or their dog or they've got their toy. I mean, there was one situation where adults were giving them toys and the children were playing, because children can't stay sad all the time. They don't. Children are great to adapt. So it's our job as adults to raise the vibration for those children and bring joy. It's not selfish to bring joy. Yes, you have to deal with reality. Yes, you have to make them compassionate and kind. And how can we help others? But at the same time, we need to lift that vibration of love and peace and joy to help children and to, you know, to be kind, to show kindness. And hopefully that will lift the vibration and energy of the world.
One child at a time and one adult at a time.
One adult at a time and one child at a time, yes.
Mm. And, you know, as you're speaking about, you know, children and parents to some extent, I'm wondering if you had one small kind of invitation or piece of, I don't like saying advice, but, you know, an invitation for parents to support their children to be inspired and to be, you know, to stay in that, to stay as children, learning and growing in their own way. What would that be?
Enjoy your child where they're at. Well, children naturally bring you joy. You have just to stop and listen to them. I was on a seminar last week. It was very interesting. It was a coach giving a talk on the thinker in coaching. One of the questions was, you know, when you ask a person a question, they automatically turn away and they straight away start thinking. And, you know, I think and I say, I remember as a teacher saying, look at me, don't look away. And I remember as a teacher not being ready, not waiting for the answer, going on to another child. And I stopped and I said, that child was formulating a very wise answer. And I didn't give that child the opportunity to speak because I was waiting for them. I was wanting an answer that was preparing for a test, which is maybe not quite my fault, but maybe the system needs to have more kindness and more time. Maybe it's the system that needs to change. Give your child time. Listen, because from the mouths of babes, there's an innate wisdom. There's fun. There's joy. Most precious thing you can give your child is time to look, to listen, and to allow them feel valued, because that's what we all want.
I'm conscious, you know, not everybody has children. And I know, Aileen, you know, you shared with me before, you don't have your own children.
I don't have my own children. And that's very interesting, Monica, because I was at a course with teachers one day and a teacher spoke and she said, you will never become a compassionate teacher until you have your own children. And my heart, oh my goodness, is really hit a nerve. And I said, I don't have children, but that doesn't make me less compassionate. So there and then I decided, do you know something? Every child is going to become my child. So I she did me a big favor.
Well, people often come in the shape of our teachers, or those who challenge us become our teachers. And there's something around, you know, so even if anybody listening isn't connected to children, there's the child within yourself that you can bring love back to. There's the sense of, you know, listening to what are your own needs. Where is your own need to have compassion with yourself? Where is your need to make time for yourself and to listen to yourself? It feels like that was a theme that came in without us even realizing. Yeah. And you know, time in silence and time with yourself to listen to your own inner wisdom and your own inner voice sounds even more important. I listen a lot to Thomas Merton, or I read about, you know, Thomas Merton, and he talks about, you know, the greatest violence of our times is all this rushing around. Yeah, that the importance of silence and just being in presence.
Right? And as well as that, sorry, Monica, as well as that, you know, we ask for guidance, but if we don't stop and be silent and listen, we won't hear it.
So I'm conscious of time and I just want to invite, you know, I know you have a kind of a process, Aileen, for inviting people to kind of take, you know, the nuggets for themselves. So can I hand it to you to invite people to reflect a little bit on what this podcast has brought them?
Yes, I'd love to do that. I suppose by starting by saying, Monica, that to learn, we have to live. And it's about reflecting on our experience. So I'm inviting everybody who's listening today to reflect on what they've heard. So maybe by using their feet and connecting with the earth and feeling supported, and by tuning into your own body, by maybe placing your hand on your heart and take a breath and relax into your body. And after listening to this conversation, what are the three insights that come to mind for you? It may be something that we've said. It may have no connection with what we've said at all. So of those three insights, is there one that you can share with somebody? Or is there one that you can set an intention for yourself? Or maybe you're going to dig deeper with it, take it somewhere else. Out of all of this, what is the one gem, the one little piece of learning that you can integrate into your life right now? The new that has come into this moment, that has allowed you to become the new you in the next moment.
The inspired you. Yeah.
The inspired you. Exactly, Monica.
And I must say, I was surprised, Aileen, by the word together and how it really moved me deeply. And so that's going to stay with me. You know, I'm going to be inquiring into what does that mean for me, not just in terms of what I shared, but it'll stay with me as my sense. And so it might be a word with somebody else or it might be an idea. Yeah. What stayed with you, actually? Because, you know, my sense is as we speak, we get inspired as well.
Yes. Always when I speak to you, Monica, I get clarity.
Mm.
Yes. And I was wondering, what was the connection between teaching children and coaching? And you spoke there about there's a child in each one of us. And my 36 years experience teaching with children, there's a child in every one of us. So I'm continuing to work with that. It's that childlike quality.
Well,
you know, we have that in us. And as I said earlier, sometimes life, education, church, society, culture, family have at times we've shut it down, but it can always be opened up. And once it's opened up and receives the light, it's like your beautiful flowers there in the background, it'll blossom. And when a person blossoms, it'll give Kermit the Frog a great laugh.
Well, the Irish is coming into my mind. Mullan oig agus tuicasaí, praise the young and they'll come. And you know, it's like praise the young in ourselves.
Finish with the story. My dad was 94. And before he passed away, his last few days, he was with my sister and he was walking down the corridor with his little walking frame and he had to stop and sit down and take a breath. And he looked at my sister Annette and he said, Annette, he said, when did I become an old man? And the rogue that's in my sister said, Dad, I haven't a clue when that happened.
Oh, beautiful.
So, Mullan oig.
He never became an old man, really, just his body, but inside he wasn't.
No. And we all have that choice.
Yeah, every day.
Every day.
So, unfortunately, my sense is we could stay here for weeks talking, Aileen. And I just want to invite everybody to, you know, take those nuggets. And if you're interested in hearing more from Aileen.
I am working with the Centre for School Leadership. I'm on that website. And Taylor Clark, I'm employed with Taylor Clark Communications. Okay. So they can be contacted through the CSL.
The next podcast that I'm going to have, just in case anybody's interested, is with a lady in the States, and her name is Bonnie Deisinger. And she is an esoteric healer, very interesting lady. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. And I trust that you're going away with something that will stay with you as an inspiration or even some idea of how to stay connected to inspiration in your own life, and remembering that each one of us, if we can keep our own light going, we can ignite the fire in others and reconnect them to themselves and cascade that out further and further into the world. So we can be an antidote for some of the unhelpful things that are happening in the world. So any last word, Aileen?
Last word? No, I think I'll leave the last word to you, Monica.
I think my last word is gratitude.
Let's express gratitude together, Monica. And we'll do it together.
Together. Gratitude.
So are you ready?
I am.
One, to say thank you. One, two, three.
Thank you, everyone. Yeah. And thank you, Aileen.
Thank you, Monica.
So go well and shine in the world. All the best.